And I told a joke over Jarvis Strait, and then I'd preach in Detroit, Michigan, 6 months later, and there Dr. Shields had to be coming through there, and he just came sitting on the service right in the middle of my sermon when I was ready to put on the rouse, much he began to laugh, just cackle. And he said, "I see it." 6 months after I told the joke, he saw the point. You do me that way. Well, God bless you. Now, from the passage of Scripture that dear Brother Chambers read to you, I want to speak to you this morning on the gospel for the day of Antichrist. Tonight, I hope to speak on the gospel for the day of lawlessness. And if the Lord is leading, now I don't know. I don't have any special sermons. I quit that many years ago. The situation too desperate now for some nice little sermons with 3 points. And I do like we do when we go hunting down south. We stick the dogs out and they thrush around, and if you hear one of the dogs give a certain sound, you know they got a coon treat, and I'm going to try to find the will of the Lord. That's hard to do. This is a big book. There's a lot in it. And I don't know what portion of it the Lord wants you to listen to, but wouldn't it be wonderful? Now listen to me seriously. If one time this preacher had a message from the Lord, one time out of my week here, if the people heard from God, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Huh? As long as you just listen for the preacher, I got nothing to say. But sometimes, through these lips, men actually hear him that speaketh from heaven. And there's authority in that voice. And that's the only way anybody ever gets out of the grave of spiritual death and is translated into the rule of God's dear Son. There's just one voice that's got authority to say, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus will do it. And that's the voice of the living Lord. Now, if your salvation came by a little decision you made, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's not worth arguing about because it's going to land you in hell anyhow. But if you heard from God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's not by memorizing scripture. That's when this word becomes alive. And you say, "That's God talking to me." That's when people get saved, isn't it? Wouldn't it be blessed, wonderful, if one time in the next 8 days, men would be conscious that they're listening to God. I'm going to be here every service, the Lord willing, in hopes that that'll take place. Amen? That's the only way we get the job done. I will speak to you now on the gospel for the days of Antichrist. D.L. Moody, greatly blessed servant of God, as he lay on his deathbed, made this significant statement. He said, "All I had to do was to go up and down America and England, Scotland, and the world, and exhort men and women to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said the preachers who follow me would be traitors to men and women if they dare to exhort people in the days ahead to believe in Jesus Christ." He said what they'll have to do in the days ahead is to try to get men to come to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Mr. Spurgeon was wont to say time after time, yes, make your decision. That word decision has been so abused in the States that many of us do not like to use it, but it's a good word, I guess. Mr. Spurgeon, you say yes, decide to commit yourself to Jesus Christ. There must come a crisis in the experience of men when there is a turning from to and a committal, a decision. But he said, do not make the mistake of trusting an unknown Jesus. And the issue, since Mr. Moody's day, and it's getting mighty hot now, is not trying to get somebody to believe in Jesus, but to come up out of the morass of controversy and find out by revelation from God who Jesus is. There is but one point of controversy that's worth anybody engaging in now. That is the controversy that's swirling about the person of this one whom the book calls Jesus of Nazareth. Liberals say he's the best man that ever lived. Fundamentalist. I don't know whether these terms fit in Canada, but they do in America. Fundamentalists say he was here, but he's dead now. Fundamentalists have got a dead Jesus that can't save anybody. They'll fight you over a doctrine. They'll be, you get in their way and they'll run over you. They build schools to send out preachers with hearts as cold as ice to argue some doctrine, not present a living, vibrant Lord who is not dead. He's very much alive. Fundamentalism is filling hell full of people straight on doctrine and great believers in the Bible, so great that they have no need to come to Christ and be joined to Him. They're fixed up before they get to Christ. Who is Jesus? You're living in a day when the agents of that one whom my Lord spoke of in John 5:43. I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come, said the Lord, in his own name, him you will receive. Little children, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many little Antichrist, whereby you know that it is the last time. The Lord warns us of a time when this Antichrist, equipped with such tremendous miraculous power, will deceive even the elect. Except the days be short. The most evangelistic voice in Roman Catholicism, Bishop Fulton Sheen, makes this cryptic statement: Antichrist is here. Jean Dixon, the prophetess of Washington, D.C., Catholic, perhaps demonized, I do not know. But it is tremendous what she sees, the visions she has, the dreams she dreams. I take it you're familiar with the alive, according to her, might be. I do not know what the theological foundation of this congregation is, I wouldn't want to change it. Doesn't do much good changing one. This is just the best I've been able to work it out. That there is to be a man, not simply a system, but a man called Antichrist. I think the Lord plainly teaches that I'm come in my Father's name, my Lord said, and you'll take me. For another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. And this preacher, this is just my conviction. You wouldn't fall out with a man when he just says my conviction. I'm not asking anybody to share it with him. But that's about all we are. We can't talk about something we don't believe ourselves. It's my conviction that 99% of what's called gospel preaching in American Canada is getting this world of where they'll receive this Antichrist with open arms. He's going to bring peace. He's going to get us together religiously. You can't even get two Baptists to walk together very closely now. They differ so much. And he's gonna bring peace and prosperity and do away with war and unite the religions. And that's where the movement is today. Whether he's to be here in person, I do not know, but one thing I'm dead certain, the spirit of Antichrist is so thick in Toronto you can cut it with a knife. Man asked me a question in the Bible class this morning about something I do not wish to make out like I'm so smart. But I'm telling you now, something's happened to this world in the last 5 years that your little methods that you used up till then are not worth a dime. Something's taken place in this world. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. The spirit of Antichrist has taken charge of politics and religion and society and every phase of human life, and this world is under the sway of the very spirits of hell. That's what it's all about. You ask your policeman, they'll tell you what us nice little church people have hid our heads under their sand for years. Somebody wrote a parody on John 3:16 that characterizes Baptists most everywhere now. And this parody reads, instead of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This man wrote it so we'd be more comfortable with it. And he said, for God so hated the world that he gave his church for us to hide from reality. And it's high time we who profess the faith name of Jesus Christ get our heads out of the sand, come out of our monasteries, and get involved with this anti-Christian generation. And when you do, you'll find that it's not indifference that's damning them today. It's outright hostility, brother, to the claims of God for Jesus Christ. Brother, the smoke of the lawless rebellion against God's Son is rising all about us. And I've come to just suggest the gospel for such a day as this. Another angel by in the midst of heaven, the text that was read to my brother Chambers, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And here it is. What is the message that comes from men and women under the influence of this awful Antichrist? Chapter 13. You've read it, haven't you? The mark of the beast. Can't get anything to eat. Whoa! That brought this world where in America for the last 40 years we've been well willing to sell our eternal souls for an almighty dollar. And now we've got the dollar and we've lost our soul. That spirit that has Christianized Canada and America, and the only cost of making Christians out of us is to lose Christianity itself. And we got where we got by perverting the gospel and weakening the claims of a sovereign God for his totalitarian dictator, Jesus Christ, and giving men and women the idea that they're Christians when they know nothing of the daily lordship of Christ in their lives. What's the gospel for a day in which the very breath of Antichrist is poisoning the atmosphere all about us? Here it is, verse 7. What does this everlasting angel, with the everlasting gospel preach? Here's what he preaches, saying with a loud voice, he's excited, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Why? For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. What's the gospel for this anti-Christian hour? It's the gospel of fear of God and giving glory to him and worshiping God. This is the impact, the thrust of the gospel for such an hour as this, in a generation where men have no reverence for God. We're to preach to men and women under the influence and sway of the very cohorts of Satan himself. Fear God. And we'll see why. That'll be a little rough, because to fear God means to come into contact in opposition with the forces of Antichrist that are controlling this world today. Men have to make their choice. In the 13th chapter of Revelation, three things are said about this Antichrist. And if you cannot see that they're taking place now in the Spirit, you're hopeless first. It's said in chapter 13 in verse 15 that he had, in verse 7, that power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That word power is authority. Exousia, power, authority. Power, authority, like that policeman on the street. The power, the authority, is to be given this Antichrist over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And in verse 8, it said that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's your Sunday morning so-called Christianity of the States. I don't know about you folks, but we're greatly afflicted down in the States now by Sunday morning itis, you know, people who give God an hour of their time on Sunday morning. I imagine it has tickled God to death for a great big individual to take out an hour and give it over to the little bitty God. But that's about to damn the whole state situation and put all of our churches out of business. But the verse 8 says, that to this Antichrist and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Everybody whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in verse 16, it says that he causes all this Antichrist, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this word. The claims of Almighty God for the Son of His love are not less than the claims of Satan or Antichrist. And the gospel for such a day as this is simply this: that anybody who wants to be what we call saved must understand that salvation means to come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is going to give Antichrist authority over all whose names are not found written in the book of life. You are silly to call yourself a Christian if you believe this perverted stuff that's passed for the gospel the last 60 years. That call leaves you saying, I'm a Christian, but you know nothing of the daily dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know nothing of having to surrender about 100 times every day to the lordship of S.I.M. sin or the lordship of Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me that we'll preach a little watered-down gospel today when men are under the authority of the very breath of hell, and we'll demand less for Jesus Christ? No, no. You know, the first time, young man, you ever hear the gospel as gospel, you'll be saved. But trouble some of you folks, you've heard what you call the gospel a thousand times, but it never was good news. Who wants to be utterly abandoned to somebody you never saw? Who here this morning so dumb that you'd be glad to hear that the God of the universe has turned everything that writhed and wriggled, their destiny and everything else over, to a person who was born under a cloud, hanged on a tree, buried in another man's grave, and as far as this world knows, his body is still rotting yonder outside Jerusalem. Would it be good news to you that Almighty God has raised him, sat him down on a throne, made him the prime minister of the universe, given him the task of saving or damning all mankind, and that what it means to be saved is to be picked up out from the rule of S.I.N. sin, which is personified in the scripture, moved over under the blessed rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Down our way we have a blessed man called Vance Havner. He goes up and down the country exhorting. He said when he got saved, he didn't know anything about the doctrines, he later learned, and they're important. He said just one thing that is clear to him. When he got up from his knees, he knew that one thing, he had another master at salvation. Will it be good news to you to hear about that one who says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll rest you. Take my yoke upon you. That's how I'll rest you, I'll put my yoke on you. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The gospel for an anti-Christian day, Jesus Christ, God's authoritative, totalitarian claims for him. Salvation means to be brought under the yoke, the rule of Jesus. In the second place, salvation means to worship him there. Everybody in Toronto knows that Jesus is Lord. Christians are happy. They're glad he's been made Lord. You're not saved unless you worship him where he is.
He was on the cross, but hallelujah, he's not there now. He's on the throne. You worship him there. Huh? Do you joy in him there? Christians do. The third thing about the gospel for this day, Antichrist is going to mark people. Christ marks his people too. And there's one mark in the Word of God. Titus talks about the person who loved us and gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself of what? A peculiar people. What's going to make God's people peculiar? The way they dress? No. They're zealous for good works. That makes them stand out like a wart on a boy's nose. They're zealous for good works.
They're just on fire
to produce good works. Ladies and gentlemen, my Lord Jesus Christ claims are not less than Antichrist. The gospel I'm here to preach for you. You get people here for me to preach to for you. I'll do my dead level best that the Holy Spirit will help me at all. To preach a gospel that demands utter, unconditional, day by day, lifelong surrender to the utter Lordship of Jesus Christ in your thoughts, in your body, in your spirit, in your soul, in you. That's the gospel. Is that good news? Let us pray. Our Father, in bloodstained Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to get acquainted with these dear people, for this opportunity to witness. For those who made it possible, we give thee gracious thanks. And now, we need you to give us light and wisdom. And I want you right now, O Spirit of God, if I wouldn't be blaspheming, I want you to discover people. I want you to be merciful to this congregation. I ask that you hold back the powers of hell and thine just judgment. Show mercy to boys and girls and men and women in this awful age. Grant thy grace. We're going to stand. They picked a wonderful song. It's 484. It's a favorite of mine.